This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. For over 20 years, City Year AmeriCorps has been helping make San Antonio a better place to live and helping children here do better in school and in life. But the Trump administration says there's no proof that after-school programs like this improve education outcomes, and the White House wants to cut funding to the Corporation for National and Community Service. That would force City Year to severely cut back its services, and that would be felt here in San Antonio. Well, what is City Year? What do they do? Have you been touched by their programs and service members? We want to hear from you. Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. And you can email us at thesource@tpr.org and tweet us at tprsource. We're joined this hour by Kelly Hughes-Barton. She's the Executive Director and Vice President of City Year San Antonio. Julian Vasquez, he is a senior AmeriCorps member, and Chris Caesar is a City Year SA Managing Director of Impact. And again, our number is 210-614-8980. Kelly Hughes-Barton, tell me more about City Year. What does it do?
Well, thank you for having us. City Year is an AmeriCorps program. We've been in San Antonio since 1995, and we are an education-focused nonprofit. We recruit, train, and deploy AmeriCorps members for a year of national service. Once they get here to San Antonio, they are committing to a year of service, and they are serving full-time in schools. We partner with the San Antonio Independent School District to serve in 7 of their schools. We have 89 AmeriCorps members here in San Antonio, and throughout their year of service, they reach 6,000 students in SAISD each year. They serve as tutors, mentors, and role models and serve in schools for the full day. They get there before the first bell rings and they stay until the last student leaves the after-school program, focusing on attendance, behavior, and course performance in math and English to get students back on track to graduation.
I've heard that City Year members will do things like be there at the door, welcoming students as they come in, and then they'll, right after classes start, the kids that don't show up, they get on the phones to try and find out what's going on and really attack attendance by making sure that the kids and their parents know that their absence will be felt and that they need to be in school.
That's right. Yeah, so that's part of our attendance initiative. It's called Morning Greeting at each one of our campuses. Our core members will be outside the school, clapping, cheering students who are arriving. It's a way to let our students know that we're happy to see them. And while we do make the attendance calls home when a student does show up or doesn't show up, we also call when they do show up to thank the parent or the guardian for getting their student to school that day and making sure to make that family engagement connection.
So this attendance is crucial. You know, if you don't show up, you can't achieve, you can't learn. So are there any kind of outcomes that you can like point at and say, because City Year is here in San Antonio schools and some of our most stressed communities and where attendance can be very weak at times, How has City Year impacted that?
Sure. That's a great question. I'll be honest, attendance is our toughest challenge. Like you said, if you can't get to school, you can't be there to learn. We're still computing our results from the 2016-17 school year, but I can tell you that at quarter one last year, 43% of our students in the first quarter, which is so important when you're starting out that school year, had increased their quarter average daily attendance in that first quarter of the last school year. 43% had increased from their entire school year attendance the year prior. So we do see improvement. We also struggle with mobility in this district, and that's just a reality. Our students sometimes move to 5 to 6 different schools throughout the school year. And so having a City Year AmeriCorps member there in the campus with that red jacket on is super important because it shows to our students that there's some continuation. There's a person there, you know, if they're moving from campus to campus, that is why our core members wear those red jackets, so students recognize them.
I want to go over that just for a second that people can understand a little bit better about that mobility issue mm-hmm. for students and why that is. So frequently a family will have problems with maintaining a residence, rent situations change all the time, and for whatever reason, you know, they got to move. And that means, or they don't really have a residence, and they're sort of floating around with relatives, and that means that you don't have the same classroom throughout the same academic year. You may even change school districts if you're on the south side. You may move from the south side to Edgewood or some other school district. That makes going from very difficult for a student. And so, you know, people really don't realize how that that will impact a student's academic performance.
That's right.
So let me ask you, so we've got Julian Velasquez. You're a senior AmeriCorps member. And how did you end up in San Antonio, and what are you doing here?
Well, I've been here for about 6 months before I started City Year. I have a wonderful girlfriend who signed on for the full year. I happened to be here just to help support financially, and I said, you know, after listening to all of her inspirational stories about how she was helping students, that I would sign on board and get my own experience.
And so what are you doing here? How has your experience, you know, what do you, precisely, tell me a story about what you're doing.
Okay. Well, I guess I could speak about a particular student that I have helped from January on to the end of this this school year. This kid was the first kid that I actually worked with in the schools. He's a very bright student, but he didn't really have any ambition. He was very smart, always passed his tests, but he never turned any of his assignments in on time. And after talking with this student and getting to know what his goals and ideals were, he did not see college as a viable option for him because of the upbringing that he had. And after talking to him about, you know, being able to go the distance and actually being able to obtain college, because it was very obtainable for him, after telling him that he could very well go wherever he wanted to go, we got him back on track for school, and we were actually able to raise his failing grade to a B-. Talking with this kid and his teachers, I was able to get every single missing assignment that he had missed. And my lesson plan for him every day was to slowly but surely knock off one assignment a day. And all said and done, I teach in math, and in math I was able to raise that failing grade to a B-, and sure enough, he's going to high school, and I hope he continues this gauntlet for college.
This is a student that you could say was on the margins. You know, he could have been lost. He could have, you know, probably was on track to becoming a dropout. And you think that you may have improved his chances of staying in school?
Absolutely. When I talked to him, like I said before, he didn't think anything happened after high school. It was not in his plans to go to college at all. And after talking with him and realizing a bit of his passions, which happened to be in the IT field, he wants to be a he wants to be a programming major. And after talking with him and just letting him know that he could do anything that he wanted, it just starts in the school. I truly believe that I might have turned someone's goals around.
Our phone number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. We're talking about City Year today. They begin a new year as they look towards San Antonio to help deal with some of our most stressed communities, helping students who are on the margin turn it around, as we just heard the story there from Julian. If you got a comment, if you've been touched by City Year, maybe you or someone in your family, or if you're a teacher and you've seen how City Year has made an impact here in San Antonio, we want to hear your story. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The Source continues after this break. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin. David, we're talking about City Year. What is City Year? What do they do? How are they impacting San Antonio, touching our students and teachers, bringing about a better education outcomes? The program is threatened through the most recent budget released by the Trump administration. Deep cuts are being proposed to the Corporation for National and Community Service. They want to eliminate that, and that would be a tough call for City Year. The number to call in is 210-614-8980. Chris Caesar, City Year, San Antonio, Managing Director of Impact. So we heard the story from Julian talking about him working one-on-one with a student. And I'm sure there are many, many stories just like that. But people may say, well, why aren't the teachers doing that? You know, what do we need City Year for? Aren't I paying taxes to have teachers do that type of work?
Well, they certainly are. Many of the schools that we serve in particular face social economic challenges that schools were not necessarily designed to address. And so Those students that can benefit from extra supports are where we tend to focus. And I like to call our core members a second shift of young adults. They're near peers. They are not the teacher. They're not the disciplinarians or administrators. And so they can develop a different supportive role with their students. And they provide that nagging and nurturing. They follow the kids around, remind them to get to school. They meet them in the mornings, and they nurture them through structured mentoring and tutoring, whether that's inside the classroom or outside the classroom. And they really serve as just an extra support for those teachers that have a lot of challenges. I was a classroom teacher for 10 years, and I know that a core member, an extra body, would have been very useful to provide that kind of focused one-on-one attention that a lot of our kids need.
So, Jillian, do you think the fact that you're a young guy and you've got cool hair, that makes a big difference with these kids?
Well, I am a firm believer that in order for the youth of this generation to, I guess, obtain leadership, they need leadership of people who come from similar backgrounds, people who look like them. The school that I am in is about 90% African-American. And I think that they need role models that are exactly like them, and that's why I'm in that school.
Let's go to the calls. Number is 210-614-8980, and William is on the line. Hi, William. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hello, sir.
Hey.
How are you doing today?
Good. Yourself?
I'm doing great. I've been a teacher at Rhodes Middle School for 22 years. Go Wildcats. And I got to tell you, City Year has done an outstanding job. They've been at Rhodes for a few years now. Our scores are going up. Our school is on the right track. The students are getting more involved. The parents and the community are getting more involved. And it's a great place to be. And City Year's been a part of that. And we want to see them stick around. They've really helped out our kids.
So as a teacher, William, how does City Year help you?
City Year helps those students that need a little bit extra help, whether it be an attendance issue, maybe they're struggling in math, maybe they need a little bit extra time working on their reading or science or social studies or what have you. They'll come in at our school. It tends to be during the electives, but they'll come in and they'll tutor those students one-on-one. It's so important to have one-on-one instruction with struggling students. And unfortunately, with funding being cut, class sizes are increasing, it's hard to have one-on-one instruction if you've got a class 30, 35 students. So City Year comes in, and they'll pull these students aside, work with them one-on-one or in groups of two or three, and they really pinpoint and focus in on those things, those skills that the students really need extra help working on. And it pays dividends. Like I said, you can look them up. Our scores for Rhodes Middle School went up this year.
All right, William, thank you so much for the call. And so Kelly Hughes Barton, Executive Director and Vice President of City Year San Antonio, when you hear the call from that teacher talking about his experience, you know, what do you think?
It brings tears to my eyes. Our teachers are incredible, but they're under-resourced. Our schools, like Chris said earlier, were never designed for that many kids in a classroom. Our students are facing challenges at home, and they can benefit from extra supports. And I don't care how great of a teacher you are, there's no way you can be an effective teacher every day to 35 students who have different needs. So when I hear one of our partner teachers saying and talking about the impact that City Year has had in his classroom or in his school, it brings me great joy because I know that we are making a difference while at the same time developing a whole cohort of young leaders who can go back into the workforce. And a lot of our AmeriCorps members actually go on to become teachers in the district where we serve.
So this is an opportunity for them to almost kind of student teach or see what it's really like to be leading a classroom in a stressed community and seeing whether or not this is for them and developing the skills to succeed there.
That's right. And I mean, from the administrative standpoint, you know, our district partners who we love over at SAISD, they want, and this is not just unique to San Antonio, this is in all 28 cities where we serve, but our district partners are eager to have City or AmeriCorps members who have graduated from the program become teachers in their schools because they know what the urban school is like. They've served there for a year. They get to know these kids. And I think that that's important.
Chris Caesar, one caller, they didn't want to go on the air, but they wanted to ask this question. So does every student, they get assigned a City Year member, or how does that work?
It's not every student. We use data to identify those students that could benefit the most from extra supports. And our core members are not teachers. They're not social workers. And so those kids that need really intense high-level supports, such as social work support, those are not the kids that we generally serve directly. We look at students who have a flag on one of four indicators. You touched on attendance earlier, especially chronic attendance is a challenge. But we also look at students that have behavioral referrals and that are flagging on math and English in particular. The research shows that those four indicators are the most predictive for dropout. And so what we do is we identify that subset of students, and every core member gets what we call a focus list of about 15 to 20 students. Typically, roughly 10 of those will be academic, math and English, and then 5 and 5 for attendance and behavior. And they focus on that, which is a manageable group of students that they can handle.
Another caller, Terry. And Terry, hi, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, it really saddens me to hear that City Year might lose some of its funding. I was a core member the first year that it was in San Antonio, and not only for what the program did for me personally, as far as changing my perspectives in amazing ways and showing the benefit of volunteer work or just giving of yourself in any capacity, how that can flourish in your own life. But the children, I was assigned to Montgomery Elementary School, and yes, the teachers were busy teaching, and being a core member in that classroom, I served two different teachers that were kind of connected classrooms. And so when you did have a student that was having a rough emotional day because of something at home, or for instance, you know, we were able to pull that student aside when the teacher didn't have time and just talk to them and not counsel or anything, but just be there and to listen or play or redirect, get them back in the classroom and get them reconnected. Other instances were kids that came to school without a jacket in 40-degree weather. You know, the teacher doesn't have time to go out to a thrift store and find that kid a jacket, but the city or core member shows up the next day with a jacket. It makes such a difference in these children's lives, providing just extra help that, again, when the teachers are busy teaching, you know, they don't necessarily have the time to take that personal level interest in each student. And so it really, I feel, gave the teachers a lot of support and the students a lot of the connection that they needed to be invested in their school day.
So, Terry, you were a City Corps member 20 years ago. Looking back on it, how has that impacted your life today?
Well, you know, I went to Trinity University. I was certainly not sheltered from lower income schools. I grew up in one here in San Antonio myself, but I had no idea, for instance, what the teacher's struggle was. And I didn't go on to become a teacher, but it really opened my eyes up to how broken our education system really was. And sort of like the No Child Left Behind thing was kind of a joke to me because what I was seeing was, gosh, everybody's getting left behind. And, you know, it's going to take more. It takes a village was one of the major principles that we learned in City Year. And so rather than being this person that's sort of driven on their own ambitions, you know, it opened my eyes up to being involved in the community around me and spreading the resources so that we can all help each other, give a hand up.
Terry, thank you so much for your call. I appreciate that. Kelly, when they say it takes a village, and that's become such a trite, overused, or, you know, phrase, but, you know, I guess it means that we all have some responsibility and investment. And you talked before about the dual opportunities that City Year provides for the students and for the participants. Does that all come to play here?
Absolutely, yeah. So we have a very strong culture at City Year. It's something that we instill in our core members and then they instill in the students they serve. We have a set of founding stories that are really important to us as an organization, and one of those is It Takes a Village. And the idea is that we want to make sure our core members understand, you know, it's going to take all of us. This we're talking about a human life. And so it's not just our core members, but it's our teachers, it's our principals, it's the district, it's supporters, it's AmeriCorps. Our funding model is we receive about a third of our funding of our local budget from AmeriCorps. The other third comes directly from the school district where we serve, and then we raise the remaining third from the private sector. So it really does take a village, and we have an incredible board and staff here in San Antonio, and that's an important piece of our culture to make sure that we're approaching this as a community.
So I've heard that every dollar that is spent on AmeriCorps provides $4 in social services in return. Is that the number you see?
Yeah, that's the national number. So overall, City Year receives $35 million from AmeriCorps nationally. Like I said earlier, we're in 28 cities. Here in San Antonio, we receive $1.1 million. So it's a huge portion of our budget, and it on top of that, our AmeriCorps members, after they complete a year of service, they also receive an education award just in the right around $6,000 that also comes from AmeriCorps. And they can use that to continue their education, repay student loans. So there's a lot at risk.
So you get paid, Julian, or you get a check?
we get a living stipend. The living stipend pretty much helps support living bills, transportations, anything like that. But on top of that, we do get the education award at the end, which I plan to use to settle my student loans.
But don't you get to sort of work off your student loans? Isn't there some sort of opportunity for that?
So you can defer your student loans while you're in the program if you have federal student loans, which is very helpful to our AmeriCorps members who live on a stipend. Over the course of the 11 months, it comes out to $12,500. So it's not much. But it also teaches folks the skills to learn how to budget, to learn how to live on a stipend.
But so you could make more money bartending than you would, you know, in AmeriCorps. If you're out trying to make money and pay off student loans, there are better ways to do it. But there is obviously, you know, you're jumping in here because you're looking for something of substance, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And so how many people are there, like Julian, working in San Antonio?
89. Today was their first day.
So first day of what?
Basic Training Academy. So we do a month of intensive training before we deploy into schools. So our core members actually are deployed into schools on the first day of school, which is August 14th. So we have 89 young folks who just started this morning for several weeks of Basic Training Academy. And we're so thrilled to have them here. Last year, about 70% of our core came from all around the country, and 30% of our core came from the state of Texas. So it varies year to year. But it's really cool to have people from all over the country come here to San Antonio to serve a year.
Basic training, so are they marching and doing push-ups and calisthenics and things like that?
It's not quite like that. We do acclimate them and teach them about City Year culture, about the context of doing national service. We talk to them, train them about how to effectively implement our programs and service. So we teach them basic instructional strategies. We teach them about how they're going to do attendance initiatives.
And how long does that last?
This one is about 2 weeks, and okay, because the school district moved up its start date.
Right.
But throughout the year, we pull them off of their campuses and twice a month for additional training.
We're going to talk more about City Year, what they do in San Antonio, providing opportunities for kids in our most troubled schools to get on track. The number to call in if you got a question or a comment, 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The Source continues after this. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. 89 new City Year members are starting a new round of service today, and they will be going out to San Antonio elementary, middle, and high schools, and they're going to be helping students become better students, looking for students who are on the margins, who may be falling behind, who are at risk for dropout. Maybe they can intervene and provide that little extra push and help bring them back up to where they need to be so they can maintain their academic performance, graduate, go on to college, and become gain a pretty good salary in life, but if without that intervention, who knows what would actually happen? That's why the City Year is a topic worth discussion today, and that's what we're doing. The number to call in if you've got a story, if you've seen the City Year in action, 210-614-8980. Kelly Hughes-Burton is with us, Executive Director and Vice President of City Year SA. Julian Velasquez, he's the Senior AmeriCorps member. And Chris Caesar, City Year SA Managing Director of Impact. And let's get Sandra on the line. She's called in. And Sandra, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. I have a couple of comments. First of all, I'm a former teacher of a Title I school for 12 years, and I'm a former principal of Title I schools. And I agree a lot with what the previous caller said, that our education system has a lot of faults in it. It's not meeting the needs of our students. So I'm curious, because I've left the public school system for that reason, I'm curious where is the funding going to with City Year? How is the money being utilized that you all are concerned about losing?
All right. Thank you for the call. And Kelly, you want to join in?
Yeah, sure. So this year, as we kick off the 2017-18 year, like I said before, our budget here locally is $3.4 million. Roughly a third of that comes from AmeriCorps, a third of it comes from the district, and a third comes from the private sector. And so the budget cuts that we're talking about today are the AmeriCorps funding, which, you know, we're bringing in federal funding through the One Star Foundation here in Texas. So it is up to the state to allocate it to the AmeriCorps programs in the state of Texas. And, you know, it's a highly leveraged dollar. Because we're getting the AmeriCorps money, we're able to go to the district and raise that money. We're able to go to the private sector and raise that money. And the dollars that we raise here in San Antonio stay in San Antonio, and they're used to fuel this program.
I'm wondering if Sandra's point might be that could those monies be better spent elsewhere? If the school district is putting in $1.1 million, maybe that would be, someone would argue the point, pay that money to teachers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I understand that. I also think that the day that, you know, City Year goes out of business would be a good day. I don't see any time in the future when our public schools wouldn't benefit from having extra human capital supports, especially this near-peer relationship. Our core members, because they're between the ages of 18 to 25, have the ability to connect with students, not just through academic tutoring, but the relationships that they're able to form. It's hard to compare that to another service. And I think our teachers are incredible. And I have, you know, a former teacher who's my colleague sitting right next to me here, Chris Caesar, and I think our teachers should be compensated fairly. I also think right now they can't do it alone.
So are you working just with SAISD in San Antonio?
That's correct.
And even though there are other school districts that we know that are kind of troubled and could use an extra help, you just they're not part of the system.
Well, so we actually use data from each district to really figure out our deployment plan. So the reason we partner with San Antonio Independent School District is because we know 53% of the students who are challenged to graduate on time are coming from only four of their high schools. And so our goal is to not just serve in those high schools, but into the middle and elementary schools that feed into those high schools. It's part of our feeder pattern strategy. So I don't doubt that we can make a significant impact in one school building any given year. However, when we have this feeder pattern strategy, a student is seeing a City Year core member in their school from third grade through 10th grade, that's where we're really able to have an impact, because they have a City Year presence in their life year after year. And that continuum of care is truly important to our model.
And we have a question from an email. They want to know if there is anything that you're doing to help students who are with migrant farm workers.
Migrant farm workers?
Yeah. They frequently miss a lot of school. Mm-hmm. They have to do a lot of catch up. And so there's questions about what's available to help them.
I would say that we serve any student who falls into our kind of bandwidth based on the four indicators of attendance, behavior, English, and math. And so we don't specifically target. We look at the data and let that take us to the student that needs those supports the most.
Okay, back to the phones with Renee. And Renee, hi, you're on The Source. Go ahead.
Thank you. As a father who dropped off his daughter for the first time at freshman year Burbank High School, I'll never forget that first day when the City Year individuals or all these young people were out there cheering on all the incoming students after a summer. And it gave me so much hope, and it was so encouraging. And I could just feel the enthusiasm as a parent. And it's just so important that this is how they come to school. They feel and they know that they're invited, not only the students, but the parents. And I wanted to share that and just state that that is invaluable. A lot of these kids, from what my daughter tells me, and that's not just that school, many other schools. She works with a lot of other students from other high schools in her programs. And she was telling me about all the social issues and the challenges they have. So when they come and they meet somebody that can give them a sense of hope, not only that, but someone that they can confine with, someone that, like it was mentioned, that is close to their age, is really important. And it's something that, again, schools aren't set up to do. You need to bring somebody, especially someone close to their age, into the school. And so I applaud City Year. And I hope people call their elected officials and remind them on the federal level that we cannot afford to lose this program. And that's what I wanted to state. And I wanted to thank you for having this program.
Renee, thank you for calling in. Julian, let me ask you, I guess a lot of students, when they see you there, they're curious about you. So what are you doing here, man? They're very curious about who you are and why you're there.
I do have a lot of students ask me about where my background is from. And I guess I'm here because I had the opportunity to see two very different sides of the educational system. When I was growing up, I grew up in inner city Indianapolis in Indiana. And the neighborhood there wasn't the best. And the schools that I attended kind of are similar to the schools that City Years deployed here in San Antonio. I was there from from the third grade all the way till my freshman year, and then my family actually moved to the suburbs of Indiana, and I was able to experience a system where everything was really, really nice. Everything was funded. There were plenty of programs to keep kids in school. So I always told myself that I wanted to give back in service in some way. And when I came to San Antonio for City Year, I saw the school that I was going to be at, and it honestly reminded me of home. I saw the school that, you know, I grew up in, where opportunities didn't really exist. It was just a place for us to graduate and try to leave as fast as possible. And I really, really, really resonated with that. So I told myself I had to be here for a second year. I have to come back to that school. And I have to show children there that role models like me do exist. You can get out of that situation.
So the City Year members, do y'all go to the games and cheer for the kids when they play and stuff like that?
Oh, absolutely. I actually do plan. I am at Martin Luther King Academy here in San Antonio, and I fully plan on being at every single football game as soon as the school year starts. I will be at practices, and they'll get a little creative input from me.
Oh, yeah. Okay, you're going to teach them how to block and tackle the way it's supposed to be done. All right, let me get Diane on the phone. Diane, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you so much. I just want to applaud City Year and AmeriCorps and all the work that they do. As a public educator for 30 years, you have to be part of the solution. And if you're not part of the solution for our youth, then you're part of the problem. And we need to do everything we can to support the public teacher. Unfortunately, kids come to school and they haven't had all their needs met, that Maslow's theory of you can't learn until your basic needs have been met. And the classroom teacher is doing a lot of things besides instruction. So I hate to see any funding cut for any program that supports teachers and students, because kids need feedback. Adults need feedback on the work that they're doing. And as a public teacher in low-income schools, Title I schools, I always said, don't pay me more money, don't give me new books, give me fewer students, because it's impossible. It's crowd control when you have 30 and 35 students. So I'll listen to y'all's response off the air, but thanks so much for what you do.
Diane, thank you so much for that call. And so, Chris, since you're a former teacher, can you relate to that, that it's class size is a critical part of whether or not you're going to be able to meet your education goals, and having AmeriCorps in the classroom kind of helps. It doesn't reduce the class size actually, but you can sort of give a teacher more arms and legs and eyes.
Yeah, it definitely resonates with me. Class size is always an issue that can be a challenge. That challenge is easier managed when your kids are on point and able to pay attention. And so this kind of speaks to the issue of, you know, teachers and administrators can only control so much of what goes on in the building. And many of the challenges that public schools face are actually outside of the school building. And so to the extent that we can meet those other needs and help with those needs, our students will be in a position, a much better position, to actually focus on school and pay attention.
Talking about City Year in San Antonio and what they're doing for our community, if you got a question or a comment, if you've been touched by their members, give us a call, 210-614-8980, 614-8980. You could also email us at thesource@tpr.org. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. City Year SA places service-minded individuals in high-poverty areas to help support students and raise graduation rates. How do they do that? If you've been touched by City Year, give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. Julian Velasquez, he is a senior AmeriCorps member. And so what's life like after City Year? I mean, how does this help you prepare for where you want to go next, Julian?
Well, I studied theater at the University of Southern Indiana, and part of the reason why I'm here is because after City Year, I will be pursuing a career in voice acting. So when Chris told me about this opportunity, I couldn't pass him up on it.
So to opportunity to come here and be on the radio, or what do you mean? And use your voice? sounds great. I'll give you high grades.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Just the opportunity to be in a studio, see how radio itself is handled, and to see, I guess, how that side of, you know, using your voice can be used.
So, Kelly, you have a particular, I mean, y'all want to make sure that the participants in City Year are able to use their experience to launch and go further on and develop their careers.
Yeah. So we have a cohort of 89 amazing young leaders who go on to do all sorts of things after their City Year. The second half of the year, in addition to the school service that we provide, a lot of our training that Chris alluded to earlier is focused not just on the service that our core members provide, but their development. So we do things like resume writing workshops. We do something called 18-minute networking, where folks from the business sector come in to talk with our core members. It's kind of like a speed dating networking event. We do interview skills. It's really important that we're setting up these folks that have dedicated a year of their lives to service to be set up for success going forward. So like I said earlier, we have, roughly 30 to 40% of our core every year indicates an interest in teaching. So that's a very popular career trajectory for our core members. A lot of folks go into nonprofit. We have former core members who work at CPS Energy, Frost Bank, USAA, HEB. They are a pipeline for talent for our city. So in addition to the service they're providing to students, local employers should be very interested in hiring someone who's gone through this program. They know what it's like to work on a diverse team with folks with different skill sets, folks from different backgrounds. And I think that's important for in an employee.
So when we talk about the AmeriCorps, people have made the comparison to that's pretty much the American version of the Peace Corps, Chris. So is that an apt way of looking at this?
Yeah, it's a good way to help understand. Also, going back to the Depression era, we are kind of a new generation of the Civilian Conservation Corps that went in and built many of the state parks here in Texas. And so AmeriCorps is really kind of founded in that spirit of service and going where the challenges are hardest and toughest and addressing them head on, whether it's going into the schools every day or going out and working on national parks or public park trails.
So you've been doing this for over 20 years here in San Antonio. Any students who were touched by City Year ever turn around and say, I'm going to become a City Year member, and now they actually do it?
I have a great story, actually. Just last year, we had a core member who, when she was in school, was having some family challenges. There were some issues of housing instability and moving around, and as a result, she went sideways on some of those indicators that I mentioned, and she got landed in a school with City Year and got put on a focus list and worked with a core member throughout her time, and in part because of that intervention, she did turn it around. She ended up graduating high up the ladder from high school, and she decided based on that experience that she wanted to join, and she did, and was a great core member for us while she was here.
So City Year has been doing this for 20 years in San Antonio, but not everyone has been very much aware of all the work that you've been doing. It's kind of, you know, very localized. It's not in the spotlight. You're not. Is that going to change, you know, Kelly? Do you need to be more proactive in telling the City Year story?
Yeah, I've heard before that City Year is the best kept secret in San Antonio, and that's a problem. We've been around since 1988 nationally, here in San Antonio since 95, like you said. And I think part of that is because we didn't start out as an education-focused nonprofit. So we started out more as a national service movement, and we partnered with a lot of other nonprofits. So while we did have a presence in schools, we also did a lot of physical service, so painting murals, cleaning up playgrounds, grocery shopping for the elderly. We basically did whatever we were asked. So there was still this component of national service and working on a team. About 10 years ago, we made this pivot to truly focus on one thing. We said, if we're going to get serious, we need to focus on education and education only. And that's where our whole school, whole child program really took off. And that is all we do now. So our core members are all serving in schools. And I do think that because that we made that pivot 10 years ago, there's still some awareness building we need to do in San Antonio so that folks are aware of what this program does, the students we serve, and the young leaders that we develop here in San Antonio.
So the Trump administration has said, their budget director Mulvaney said, that there is no proof, there's no evidence that funding things like the Corporation for National and Community Service to provide after-school programs and supplemental education programs like City Year, there's no proof that shows that they've actually have done any good. So can you respond to that?
Yeah, so we actually did a study. The Policy Study Associates did a study where they looked at schools that were similar to the schools we serve in, but without City Year. And what they found was that schools with a City Year team were 2 to 3 times more likely to improve on math and ELA assessments. That's a significant stat, and I think it shows that our work does matter.
So what kind of people are drawn to join City Year?
I think service-minded young people like Julian here, people who want to give back. One of the things that we really pride ourselves on is we have core members from all walks of life. And so we have core members whose parents might be helping them get by this year. We have core members who, you know, went to schools like the schools that we're in or went to the district where we're serving. And that's important. It's an important part of our culture to make sure that there's a lot of diversity, inclusivity in our core.
And so are there still opportunities for, you know, young people in San Antonio? What are the age? What's the age bracket?
So you have to be between the ages of 18 and 25. And we actually do have a few more positions open right now. The last day that a core member could start is August 7th. So if anyone listening between the ages of 18 and 25 is interested in committing a year of their life to national service here in San Antonio and working with students in schools, go on the website, www.cityyear.org, and choose to apply to San Antonio.
What does that mean, committing a year of your life? I mean, is it like joining the military?
I mean, this is not, I always say it's no small feat. It is a difficult year.
Did you have like some doubts before you signed your name on that dotted line, Julian? I was like, this is a big thing.
Oh, I definitely thought about it. There's a lot that you walk into with this organization. And when I said I would be, committing myself for the year to a cause that's greater than myself, you know, it's something that you actually have to think about more than once. So it definitely.
and so you signed a dotted line, you're going to go, you're going to be in San Antonio, and do you provide like a place to live? How does that work?
So our admissions team actually works with incoming core members to help them find housing. We as an organization don't provide housing. A lot of our core members end up living with one another in certain parts of town. Social media has allowed us as an organization to have our incoming core kind of communicate with each other before they get here. So it's been very helpful so that folks can kind of pair up and live together in different parts of town.
If I could just add, San Antonio is a rapidly growing city, and so the cost of housing is always a concern of ours. And so if any folks out there work in the housing industry and would be interested in helping out, I'm always trying to find affordable housing for our core members.
Are there people who take in city core members as house guests? Does that work?
We're working on things like that. Some people have friends or relatives here in the city that take them in. And as Kelly said, a lot of them will get together and share housing.
So the big question about whether or not there's going to be this massive cut to the Corporation for National and Community Service, we know this is the that's the Trump budget. That's mm-hmm. not necessarily the budget that's going to be put together by the by Congress.
That's right.
So it's we went through this ourselves with the Corporation for Broadcasting, Public Broadcasting, and so we kind of think, well, it may not happen. So what are your thoughts? What's the prognosis?
So fortunately, the U.S. House Appropriations Subcommittee recently approved the $1.3 billion to fund the Corporation for National and Community Service for the federal year FY18, which is the same amount that was appropriated by Congress in FY17. So while this is huge and it's a step in the right direction, it is only the first step in a long congressional appropriations process. So it's really important, like a caller said earlier, to get on the phone with our local elected officials. We've had a track record of bipartisan support. There's a ton at risk right now. And so we need to use our voices because it is up to Congress and they need to know how important this is.
Right. And you are very active and you're visible in communities that people don't have a lot of say in what's going to happen in the halls of Washington, D.C. So you may be having a big impact in these communities, but that may not be getting back to the people who are making the big decisions. So you got to figure out how you're going to, square that circle and make that happen.
That's right. I think, stories are powerful. Sharing our stories of impact. Local elected officials are people, too. And so they need to hear from us. They need to hear from folks in the community that this is making a difference to their child, to their parent, to their brother, sister, to their community member, their neighbor. And so it's really important that we continue sharing those stories of impact.
Any other plans maybe to expand to other districts in San Antonio, or is that something that's in the offing?
Our long-term plan here in San Antonio is to reach a majority of students who are currently off track to graduation. So over the next 10 years, we hope to be at a core size of 350, which would allow us to reach that goal. Of course, we would love to continue to partner with SAISD, but we're also open to working with other school districts who might need us. We're going to go where the need is the most.
Kelly Hughes-Burton is the Executive Director, Vice President of City Year San Antonio, joined also by Chris Caesar, the City Year SA Managing Director of Impact, and Julian Velasquez. He is the Senior AmeriCorps member, and this is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thank you so much for tuning us in.